The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "I say to you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were satisfied. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures unto eternal life. For on him, the Son of Man, God has set his seal." And they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one that he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see you and may believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert. He gave them bread from heaven to eat, it is written." So Jesus said to them, "And I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven. My Father is now giving you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am this bread, the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." This is good news from the Lord. It's seldom that the three readings, at least for me, tie together so nicely and give us a nice movement from the first to the third. If you notice in that first reading, we have complaining people, grumbling, says the whole house of Israel. "Why did you lead us out here into this desert to make us die of famine?" It's what I'm going to call the worldview of scarcity. I'm afraid that's how most of us live, because in our country we're trained to always accumulate and have more and more and more. Not that it satisfies, but we think for some reason more is better. And when you have that, you know what? You never have enough. Would that we had died at the Lord's hands in Egypt. At least there we had enough food. Why? You had to lead us out here, complaining all the way to the promised land. And in that, they are pretty much a good image of all of us, certainly me. Then, the wonderful second reading from Ephesians talks about a complete change of mind. Put off the old mind, put off your former way of living, and be renewed in an entirely new spirit of your mind. Can you imagine that happening? That you'd really look out with a whole different pair of eyes. Not those complaining, stingy pair of eyes of the Israelites. You see, when you live from a worldview of scarcity, and a lot of us do, and a lot of us can't help it if you were raised poor, it's always the feeling that there's never going to be enough. My own parents were raised in the Depression and the dust storms of Kansas. And I was certainly taught that, save, 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 for the rainy day. There might not be enough. But unfortunately, it really pollutes your mind after a while. And you become stingy and cheap. And you think that the meaning of life is to accumulate, to save, to pile up. But I want to tell you, it's never enough. Once that mind is there, you're never satisfied. You see, the worldview of scarcity and what I'm going to call in a moment the worldview of abundance It has nothing to do with being rich or poor. I know very few poor people. I've met them around the world who have almost nothing and will happily kill their last chicken for you. And I know very rich people who are constantly concerned that someone's cheating them, that they're paying too many taxes, that somehow they still don't have enough. So it has nothing to do with whether you're lower class, middle class, or upper class. It's a different mind. And the gospel has come to move us from that old, cheap, stingy, never enough mind of the Israelites to the mind of abundance. That is at least challenging us in the gospel. To get this story, you have to have heard the previous passage. That's the trouble with the lectionary. You just get a little passage and you don't hear the before and the after. But this group of people has just witnessed a huge abundance of bread and fish being multiplied. Jesus runs away to get away from this crowd who always want more, and sure enough, those who want more follow him around the edge. And he says, the edge of the lake. What did you come here for? He says, to get more bread? Or are you looking for a food that doesn't perish? Are you just looking for temporary gain? And in this, it's really a challenge to all of us who come to church or are part of religion. Why do you come here? Is it for self-interest? Is it to pay your fire insurance dues in case it's true, but we're not really in love with God or with ourselves or with one another? I'm afraid that's a lot of Christianity. You can see it by the bored look on so many Christian faces. They're just going through the motions, not having touched upon the food that does not perish and wanting to renew that taste and that satisfaction, but just hoping for something miraculous to happen, some more bread and some more fish. And so what you can see happening here is Jesus is trying to change their consciousness from the bread that passes in a few hours and the bread that satisfies forever. And he's saying, what do you really want? What really feeds you is the question. What really satisfies you? The alcoholics say it so well, as you know. They say, you tend to need more and more of what doesn't work. That's why you need more and more of it. It isn't working. That's why greedy people are never satisfied, because the old money didn't really make them happy, so they need more money. They need a fancier house or a bigger car, and that won't make them happy either, I promise you, because they don't know how to be happy. People who know how to be happy can be satisfied with very simple things. It takes very little to give you joy when you've found the foundations of joy inside of yourself. When you've eaten the bread of heaven, the eternal bread, the bread of life. Use whatever word you want, but what we're talking about is real food. And interestingly enough, he describes this food as a person, a relationship, himself. Eat this bread, eat me. And I bet you would all know that the moments of greatest joy in your life is when you've had a moment of authentic intimacy with another person, where they gave you a bit of their heart and you gave a bit of your heart back. And at that moment, you could think less about more money and more food. You're fed. You're satisfied. You're totally content. And we live, you and I, in the richest country in the world, and yet filled with discontented people grumbling like the Israelites in the desert. It isn't enough. I didn't get what I deserved. I deserve more. I'm paying too many taxes. What we need to see is a truly transformed and content person who knows that it's not what you have that makes you happy or how much you have, but how much you enjoy what you already have, what's already given. And when you learn how to enjoy that, it's amazing how little you really need. And so let Jesus, as he promises today, be a different kind of bread, a different kind of mind, a different kind of heart that teaches you what really feeds you, what really gives you joy. And once you start eating of that, you'll eat for the rest of your life in a very, very different way.